When I was in college, this baffled me. I've always been really passionate about the truth. I've always felt like if I'm going to give myself to something like Christianity or like anything else, I'd love to know that it's real. And boy, are we all wasting our time if this isn't real. If Jesus isn't who he said he was, if he can't do what he said he can do, you're all wasting your time here. And it baffled me that so many people would spend the time to come to a church, to help out at a church, to even call themselves spiritual, and not bother to know whether or not it was right. They just sort of accepted the next best thing to come along. They never really looked into it. They never really checked it out. And so you just kind of believe what you hear because that's easier than checking it out. So many people in the world believe that Christianity, it's like close your eyes and just choke it down because it's the only thing I can think up. And a few months ago, I told you the Bible is true. It's real. And it takes more faith to not believe it than to believe it. And there's lots of people who have done this. They've looked into it. They've tried to discount our faith. And they've come out understanding that the Bible is real. And you can't get around it. And so when I was in college, I was baffled that people didn't care about the truth. How many times have you had a conversation with somebody about spirituality and they've been like, well, I believe in this, but it's okay for you to believe in this. And, you know, I just don't think a God could be like this. Can you imagine if we took that approach in the rest of our lives? Did my wife just walk in? I was just about to say something, but I'm probably not good enough. She just walked in. I'm going to just shut up. Check this out. So almost everyone believes that truth exists, correct? So almost everybody in the United States believes truth exists. Barna did another study. Christians and non-Christians. And found that a majority of people believe that absolute moral truth doesn't exist. That there is no absolute moral truth. Check this out. 2 out of 3 adults and 4 out of every 5 teenagers believe that the truth is always relative to the individual and the circumstances. Isn't that fascinating? Like, they believe truth exists in every area of their life, but somehow when we get to the book, somehow when we get to talking about eternal things, kingdom things, God things, people are just wide open. Oh yeah, whatever works. It defies logic. Barna says this. This is one of the great deceptions of our age. Embracing relative under the guise of Christian faith facilitates comfort with sin. By claiming the authority to determine right from wrong, we crown ourselves the kings and queens of reality. Yet we have no such authority. And we constantly pay the price for the arrogance of believing and acting like we are in control of our destiny and experience. What an affront to God. To claim his name and protection, but to resist his moral truths based on human feeling. Isn't that interesting? See, this is why we get like this. See, there's a dark spot right here. Can you guys see my face? It's nice right here for me because it's not hard on my eyes. It's really picking and choosing our God. And it's makes sense. If I believe in God, but he wants me to change my behavior, well then I'll just change who God is. Isn't that interesting? And it makes sense because then you can have your cake and eat it too. But that wouldn't work in your real life. If you saw a sign on a road that said bridge out, and you said, well, man, I really just need to get across that river. I couldn't believe in the kind of bridge that wouldn't hold up my car. And you just drove it. Well, that would be stupid. It's a stupid analogy. It's dumb to even say, but that's how we approach God. That's how we approach the Bible. And maybe that's not you, but you should know that's everyone. And outside these walls, that's the way people approach God. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. That time is here. And what are we going to do about it as a church? Are we going to curl up in a ball and hide? Are we going to whine about it? Are we going to just bash people, beat them over the head with the Bible, tell them how wrong they are, and remind them about hell? Christians, let me ask you, when you have trouble in your marriage, when you have trouble as parents, when you struggle at work, when you're having a bad day, when you're having a great day, where do you go? Where do you go for your answers, for your advice? How do you direct your life and guide it? If you're like me, you probably start with Facebook. And the problem is, on Facebook, everybody's opinion carries the same weight, doesn't it? See, you can post right after me, and then you can, and then you can. But you don't know what you're talking about, dude. You're making it up as you go. You're an expert. But your opinion sits right next to his and his, and it all counts because nobody's checking. That's our world now. Used to be you couldn't get in front of people until you'd kind of been checked out a little bit. You couldn't have a loud voice until some people had heard you and verified that you had any idea what you were talking about. And so we had authority figures. In Christianity, we have Billy Graham, James Dobson. You guys have heard of these guys, right? The graph, and I forgot to put it in my slides, but there's a graph that shows literally the younger and younger and younger people get from 65 plus all the way down to 18, the less and less and less they care what Billy Graham says. In 2009, a study showed that most 20-somethings had more positive feelings about Paris Hilton than they did about Billy Graham. Did you know that? Even in people claiming to be Christians. There's no authority anymore. Everybody's on even playing field. We can get sucked into that, can't we? Of course we can. What's Paul's remedy? Here's what Paul says. And he's on his way out. And he knows the world that he's leaving behind, because it's not that much different than our world now. Because people have always wanted to do whatever they wanted to do. And people have always known and sensed inside that there is a God, and he's calling them. Paul says, preach the word. Preaching and teaching has really come under fire in the last 10 years. Again, because you have somebody who's going to stand on a stage, and they're going to look down on you, and they're going to point to you, and they're going to tell you things that you don't want to hear. Nobody likes to get preached at. And so we adjust, but here at Cornerstone, this is why we stand on this book, because it has authority. And so it is not the preacher with the authority, it is the word that has authority. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. That sounds a lot like something he said just a few paragraphs earlier. If you want to turn back, you can, to 2 Timothy 3. He's reminding Timothy, from childhood, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. See, the word is so important to Paul. And he's saying to Timothy, he's saying, don't get away from the word. Don't get away from what you've heard from us. From childhood, you've been acquainted with them. And they're able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. There's a whole sermon in there. There's a whole sermon in there about the Old Testament and how the whole Bible, the whole book, not the New Testament, the whole book is about Jesus. It's all about him. All scripture is breathed out by God. We believe that all scripture is inspired by God, that this is a book that God wrote. Through human hands, God wrote this book, and that's why it has authority. And that's why we have lots of other books, and there's lots of books written about God, and there's lots of books written about the book that God wrote, but this is different because this is the book that God wrote, and that makes it unique and gives it a unique place in our lives as followers of Christ. I got a video that I found. It's a little grainy. But somebody went on a college campus and interviewed them about what they think about the Bible. See, the studies say that less and less people read nowadays. More and more people get their information in little bite-sized nuggets. And again, it's a Facebook generation. Everything comes through screens. How many of you have a Bible right now on a screen? Right. That's okay, but that's who we are. That's who we are, and that makes it harder and harder for this to feel relevant. Check out what these college kids say. This is fascinating.
I don't know.
Some of the things I feel it's not true. Like, I do sense discrepancy in the Bible, but for us, it's religion, it's faith, and it's meaning. Having a God, like there's a higher being, I do believe that.
I think they're kind of made up. They're made up by a bunch of people back in the day.
I think they're true, but like I said, that's the way I was brought up. I don't think everybody believes that, but personally, I think it's true.
No, I believe it's true. I don't know to what extent, but for the most part, I believe they're true.
Well, there's been a lot of recent findings that have been proving them historically, so there's got to be some truth to them.
Yeah, I believe the Bible is 100% true. I mean, you always I can't say 100% true because you always have some things that are made up. But I believe the majority of the Bible is true.
I believe it's accurate to an extent, but like I said, people did write the Bible instead of God. So I don't know how much of it might be opinion or someone else just throwing stuff in.
I think it's definitely more like a fable. As far as some of the stories they make, it seems to be more of a lesson to be learned rather than an actual event, most of those stories.
I'm not quite exactly sure.
It was written by man, and there's no proof that the words came from a higher power, but I think it's a nice story, and it has good messages behind it.
Well, I think it's pretty intense. Like, if you read it sometimes, like, everything just comes together sometimes. It's like, yeah, even if it's all metaphoric, you know, it still, like, interplays in our life so much that it's true.
Well, the Bible's been interpreted, you know, by different people so many times that, you know, I have no place to say if it's true or not or exactly to the word, but I think that you can take the Bible and definitely learn from it. You're not having to establish that fact.
I mean, I'm Muslim, but like a lot of it coincides with like what we believe in, so I'm guessing it's true.
The Muslim guy is the one who believes the Bible is true. Isn't that wild? Isn't it kind of sobering? If you're out there on the streets, if you're talking to people about your faith regularly, that's not surprising to you. I know it's not. That's everyone I know. Do you know why people don't judge what you believe or what you believe or what you believe? Do you know why we don't? Because no one takes responsibility for themselves. Guys, you have a responsibility to find out whether or not this is true. And if you don't want to do the work, well, then certainly I can't tell you what to believe because I haven't done the work myself. Shoot. I might change what I believe next week if something better comes along. So I just hear things and I take it in and I never take any time to do the work to find out. And guys, we want Christians here to know why they believe. It's so easy. But it's going away. People aren't taking the time. The prophecies, the things that come out of the Bible over thousands of years, There's no book like it. It's not like other books. It is not the same. But we allow people to think it is. And somehow we just get bunched in. Look at this. Last thing, and then we're done. Don't sound so excited about it. Oh, I don't want to. We'll skip that. You're welcome. A guy named Mike Napa this year released a study that he did, and he surveyed Christian kids. He surveyed teenagers, 8th grade through 12th grade, and they were all like a Christian camp thing, and there was a lot of them. And they all claimed to be Christians, and they were all active in evangelical youth groups, okay? These are our kids. 70% expressed persistent, measurable doubts that what the Bible says about Jesus is true. They also really struggle with the exclusivity of Jesus being the only way, because that's hard. If you say Jesus is the only way, you got to back that somehow. If I'm going to tell you you're wrong, I have to be confident about that. And they're not. 1 out of 3 of the Christian teenagers surveyed believes that Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, and other great religious leaders all lead to heaven. This is hard stuff. Parents, have you taken the time to explain to your kids, to your students, to your children, why we believe the Bible? Have you taken time to help them understand that the Bible is an authority source in our lives and we don't just bet on it by faith? You'll notice none of those people in the video were coming from a position of like, well, the things I've read in there, or, you know, I did a lot of research on it and I said, you know, it's probably true. Some of it's true. Maybe not. Who knows? These are hard questions. Here at Cornerstone, know this. We stand on the Word. We believe this is the book that God wrote, that God is the Creator. We are created, and so we can't change our Creator. He can change us. And we believe that when society, when our friends, when our own feelings and desires to do things, when they conflict with the book, then we're wrong. And it's a call for us to change, not for God to change. I don't believe in a God who could. I don't change God to suit my needs. It's not possible. So here's your morning gut check. Do you conform? Do you, created being, conform to the Creator? Or does He change for you? That's a hard one. But we got to know it. We got to think about it. And it goes all the way back to Paul. And as Paul is looking at the end of his life, this is what he tells Timothy. Preach the word in season and out. Preach the word. That's what we're going to do here. Will you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you for the book that you wrote. I'm so appreciative, Lord, that we have access to this book that thousands of people have given their lives for so that we could read it. I appreciate that you've chosen to reveal yourself to us, that you have told us who you are. And Lord, I'm sorry for the times that I try to tell you who you are. Help me with humility to read your word and to let you tell me who you are. And I pray that we can bring some semblance of truth, that we can be the flag bearers of truth in our community. Because, Lord, you are not exclusive, you are inclusive, and you've told us in your word that you want all people to be saved. You are an inclusive Creator who loves us. And we appreciate you, Lord. Amen. I don't know if my wife walked in. Any chance? You are. You made it. Jeremy is here. Why don't you guys come on up? Tom, can you give them a microphone maybe? We gave him a call. Appreciate that you made it out in the snow. We gave him a call and just asked them to drop in after the vote. And I guess, want to introduce to you the next senior pastor at Cornerstone Church of Blaine. Take it away.
Thanks, John. Thanks, everybody. That was a very serious message, but I couldn't help smiling like an idiot the whole way through.